This is Emotional Bites. It's where we unpack the complex tapestry of human experience. I'm Jillian Rogers, your host for today. Welcome to the show. We've got a very special guest today, Jazz Mendola, to continue our series on human needs. In this episode, we're looking at our identity needs. These are those reflections and thoughts that tell us who we are.
Hi, Jillian. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me. So I guess our first question is what identity needs actually are and how do we know about them? In the Emotional Bites framework, there are four domains of needs that influence our thoughts, emotions, and behavior. These needs are psychological needs, emotional needs, relational needs, and of course, the identity needs that we are discussing today. So the three things that people need to experience to keep their sense of identity stable are validation, belonging, and idealization. They're the psychological bedrock shaping our deepest emotional responses.
Thanks, Jazz. These aren't just surface-level desires. Our identity needs create our strongest emotional drives, precisely because they're so deeply ingrained into our psyche.
Right. But why do you think these needs hit us so hard compared to physical ones like hunger or tiredness?
I think it's because these needs touch on who we believe ourselves to be at the core. A threat to our identity feels the same as a threat to our physical being. It's existential, I guess. But where do we start with this?
Let's start with validation. What is it, I hear you ask? It's the need to feel seen and accepted for our authentic selves without having to pretend. It's when someone mirrors back or affirms how we want to be seen.
Is that like when someone truly hears your perspective or acknowledges your efforts?
Yeah, exactly. And the absence of validation can trigger profound emotional pain, not just disappointment, but a sense of, I don't matter, I'm inconsequential. It's about more than getting praise as a child. It's about confirming your worthiness to construct your own identity and exist as you are.
Yeah, that resonates. I think about how when someone brushes off my concerns, it can make me question whether they understand who I am at all.
Precisely. A person's identity takes a direct hit when others don't mirror back who they need to be seen as. It creates a kind of dissonance. It can be quite jarring to the psyche.
Now, what about belonging? This in some way feels even more primal.
Absolutely. It's about feeling connected to something larger than ourselves. It's like we have a tribe that accepts us unconditionally. Evolutionarily speaking, it makes sense. Our ancestors needed group cohesion for survival. So when we feel excluded or on the periphery, it activates that ancient fear of abandonment, the anxiety of being left vulnerable and alone, exposed even. This also brings up the subject of attachment patterns. Some people are much more sensitive to threats because their early bonds were insecure and they didn't develop that strong internal mechanism they can rely on to feel safe in who they are, whatever the situation. It can also make them very susceptible to being overwhelmed or manipulated by others.
Great point. Someone with an anxious attachment style might react strongly to even the slightest hint of rejection, constantly seeking reassurance. And for those with avoidant tendencies, they might push away connections before they can feel truly seen or be known. They might feel like they're protecting themselves from potential hurt, but they can often end up alone or isolated. What we find is that early attachment patterns are like a primer for how we handle threats to our needs for validation and belonging.
So let's move to idealization. This is so much more subtle, but no less important. This is the need people have to be admired or respected by significant others, and to have people in your life that you look up to.
This one feels complex emotionally. It's like needing external confirmation of your value and having someone who gives you permission or represents who you want to be.
It's why criticism from someone you look up to can be devastating. That's your mirror being shattered. But there's a catch. It often leads to performance-based relationships rather than authentic connection. This is because we're trying to maintain an idealized image rather than being truly seen.
Yeah, when we idealize another person or partner, we're essentially forcing them into a role that they feel like they need to maintain in order for the relationship to work. And the pressure to conform to roles, rules, and expectations can be immense.
So these needs aren't just about comfort, they're about protecting ourselves. When they're met, we feel emotionally secure. When our identity needs are frustrated, that's when we see the strongest reactions: anger, sadness, anxiety. Let me ask you, if you share something vulnerable and it's ignored or dismissed, what does that feel like?
totally feels like my truth isn't worthy of acknowledgement. I start to feel like a child again, needing approval for who I am. I feel like I'm a joke, not worthy of being taken seriously. It's that validation need kicking in.
Now, what about belonging? Imagine joining a group where you always feel like the outsider. That persistent sense of not quite fitting in can lead to chronic loneliness and self-doubt.
Belonging as a need makes me think about the importance of our social groups in building someone's identity. But I also wonder, what happens when these feelings of belonging are taken away? Maybe someone loses the respect they have from a friend or from a family member they're close to, and now they face the possibility of exclusion or rejection or abandonment. But it's not just about that exclusion or rejection, is it?
No, it isn't. Their entire self-concept can crumble overnight. It's not just about losing the admiration or esteem of someone else. It's about losing part of how they define themselves. It's about that positive mirror shattering into a million pieces. And once it's gone, it may never come back. It can be devastating.
And I guess some relationships can develop patterns that revolve around avoiding that loss of esteem.
Yes, that is true.
So, can understanding these needs help explain why some conflicts escalate so quickly?
Absolutely. Often, we're not arguing about the surface issue, but about what the interaction means for who we are in that environment and in that relationship. Look at social media, constantly seeking validation through views or likes. It's an attempt to fill that deep need for validation, belonging, and idealization externally.
But those hits are fleeting and often leave us more hollow than before. Instead of true community, we get this illusion of connection that doesn't really supply any of the other benefits we get from face-to-face interaction.
Exactly. We're trying to satisfy primal needs through digital proxies that ultimately fall short.
So how do we navigate these needs better?
We start with self-awareness. It's about recognizing when these needs are driving your reactions. I might say something like, is this about feeling unseen, or am I afraid of being excluded? And then seeking validation from sources that don't really matter. It's not just about seeking external praise or recognition, but developing internal acceptance about who you really are.
Yeah, that's quite a shift. Moving from how can others make me feel worthy to I choose to value my own opinions and needs, regardless what others think. I need to mull over that one. But tell me, Jazz, how can we focus on quality over quantity in our social relationships?
By choosing communities where you feel genuinely seen and appreciated for who you are, not just tolerated to make up the numbers. You need to find others who truly resonate with your values and goals.
And how do we handle idealization? How can we look at that need differently?
We're letting go of needing universal admiration from others, focusing instead on respecting yourself first. Then external validation becomes a nice bonus rather than a necessity, and you'll be less susceptible to manipulation.
Easier said than done, though. Our inner critic often fights back against this mindset shift.
True. That critical voice says things like, I'm not enough unless others approve. But we can learn to challenge this voice by flipping the perspective. Say to yourself, instead of I'm not enough, say, you're not enough. Who said that? Whose voice is that really? Is that my parent talking? That teacher from third grade? This engages a different part of the brain and enables us to talk back against those limiting perspectives. You ask questions like, is this really true? Do you really only have value when someone else confirms it?
Exactly. It's about reclaiming your sense of worth from external sources and grounding it within yourself. And your value as a person is not based on what services you can provide to others. There is inherent value in enjoying your life and living how you see fit. Just be honest enough to express what you want and need.
For listeners feeling triggered right now, I want you to know that these needs are universal. You're not broken because you're craving validation, belonging, and to be respected. But understanding these needs gives you the power not to eliminate all emotional pain entirely, but to respond with more compassion toward yourself and others.
Think of it as emotional literacy, recognizing what's really at play when your buttons get pushed. It's often not what the other people are doing that drives those feelings of anger or shame or helplessness, but it's because your needs for validation, belonging, or idealization are being frustrated.
So next time someone dismisses your feelings or you feel like an outsider, you can pause, acknowledge the underlying need that these strong feelings are coming from, and choose how to respond rather than get upset and hurt or try and strike back. It's really just your identity needs triggering those strong emotions, and that requires a completely different solution than getting upset or overwhelmed. It requires you to look at what you might need in the moment, and what you really need to do is let the other person be themselves. But you're putting a boundary in place that lets you be you, that stops your values from being contaminated. It really is that simple. You don't have to absorb other people's values or emotions, but you don't have to force yours onto them either. You don't need someone else to accept your perspective in order for it to be valid. It's still valid because it's your personal perspective from your personal set of values.
Exactly. This is how we build emotional resilience, the ability to honor our needs without letting them control us.
Well said, Jillian. Thanks for opening up this deep dive into our identity needs. There's so much going on down there that most people don't even consider. But once we see it, we can't unsee it. And honestly, this perspective, this granularity, it can be so helpful in lowering our emotional baseline. It can help us to remain calm through all sorts of interactions. It also frees us from those patterns and loops that keep us stuck.
Well, here we are at the end of the show. A big thank you, Jazz, for helping us to explore our identity needs. It's always a pleasure exploring emotional bites with you.
I've enjoyed being here. Thanks, Jillian.
Until we speak next time, be gentle with yourselves and each other and stay curious about the emotional world within us and between us.